appreciate you. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Blessed be your name with your hands and go ahead in your appreciation. Go ahead in your appreciation. Go ahead in your appreciation. Father, we are grateful. We appreciate you. We honor you. We adore you. We magnify you. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Be glorified, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Blessed be your name, Lord. We worship you. With your hands to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And give him the praise and the honor. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. I bring you greetings from Cotonou in Benin Republic, where we had the most drastic and exciting crusade. We shall show you the clip very soon. And God was absolutely glorified. Hallelujah. Say amen. We have a very important subject to deal with this morning. It is dealing with financial limitations. And this is going to be part one. In 1 John verse 2, the Bible said, Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Our objective in this study is to understand the necessity of financial liberation or freedom. Why is it necessary to be financially liberated? Why is it necessary to be financially free? And our second objective is to deal, understanding what it takes to deal with financial limitations or hardship. We'll understand the necessity of financial liberation or freedom, and we'll understand also what it takes to deal with financial limitations or financial hardship. Now, before I go there, last week, that's on Wednesday, we looked at covenant details for divine abundance. And I think that that message was a foundation for this. And if you were not in that service, it is important that you look at the message. When we say the covenant, the first thing that comes to the minds of most people is giving and receiving, but there are many more to it. And if the ICT can place it on the screen for those who are not there, the first detail we saw was to seek first the kingdom of God. We looked at that extensively, and then we looked at set your love on God. It's part of the covenant of supernatural abundance. And then thirdly, we looked at look up to God alone. These things were spoken in detail. Number four, be committed to the covenant practice of giving. Be committed to the covenant practice of giving. We looked at that. And then number five, be faithful. Have integrity, have character in financial matters. We looked at that extensively. Number six, be diligent. God does not bless the lazy. He blesses the work of our hands. Number seven, very important, avoid indebtedness. We looked at that also extensively. And of course, number eight was avoid wastefulness. It was a very explosive message. People commented on this message from all over the world. I would like you to pick it up and listen to it and go through it as a foundation for this. Now, by way of understanding today, in this message, it is made abundantly clear through our scriptures that God is interested in the financial welfare and success of his people. God is interested in the financial welfare, the financial success of his people. We just read 3 John verse 2. He said, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Job chapter 36 verse 11. He said, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. If they obey and serve him. If we obey and serve God, we are to spend our days in prosperity, not adversity. Our years in pleasure, not under pressure. Not under financial pressure. The question is, the important thing to note is, there is no earthly father, earthly parent, who is excited or interested in the struggle or the hardship of their children. Not one. Our heavenly father is far better than any earthly father. No earthly father, no earthly parent is excited or interested in the struggle, in the hardship of their children. So God made the provision for the success financially and freedom financially for his children. I want to ask a question and answer, and that is, what is the importance of financial liberation? Why should we be financially free? Why should money not be a struggle? Why shouldn't we struggle with money? What is the importance or necessity of financial liberation or financial success? Number one, you are able to fulfill personal goals, visions, and aspirations with the availability of adequate resources. You are able to fulfill personal goals, personal visions, personal aspirations with the availability of adequate resources. The Bible said, where there is no vision, the people perish. That is Proverbs 29 verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the Lord happy is, keepeth the Lord happy is he. It is true that where there is no vision, the people perish. It is equally true that where there is no provision, the vision perish. Did you hear what I just said? Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no provision, the vision perish. You have a vision to employ 1,000 people by setting up a manufacturing industry or whatever it is. That vision is only fulfillable with provision. You have a vision to take your family somewhere, spend time and seek the face of God, maybe outside the country. It's fulfillable with provision. You are able to fulfill personal goals, vision, and aspirations with the availability of adequate resources. You just end in frustration. You have good intentions. There are things you want to do, you can do, because you are limited by resources. Number two, you are able to fulfill kingdom vision and global gospel saturation with adequate resources. Kingdom vision and global gospel saturation with adequate resources. We just came back from a crusade in Benin Republic. That crusade cost very massively. At the end of our crusade in Ghana, we have already gone and come back. And somebody said, you know what? Can you calculate for me the whole bill of that crusade? I want to take care of the bill. Every cameraman and everybody who traveled and their airfare and their hotel and everything. One person. That is global, fulfilling kingdom vision and global saturation with adequate resources. In Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17, Zechariah chapter 1 and in verse 17, he said, cry yet saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my city's true prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. True prosperity, I spread my kingdom. I use resources to spread the kingdom, to build the churches, to do the crusades across the nations of the world. You are able to fulfill kingdom vision. Many things you like to do, most of us are unable to do them because money is not there. Number three, you are able to be a blessing to your generation and impact the lives of the less privileged with adequate resources. You are able to be a blessing to your generation and impact the lives of the less privileged with adequate resources. In Genesis chapter 12 and in verse 2 to 3, God speaking to Abraham said, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." That is, you need to have the blessing to be a blessing. You are able to bless your generation and impact the lives of the less privileged with adequate resources. A young man met me the other day, well-to-do young man already now, and he told me, he said he was on my scholarship when he was in the university. And he has returned back to see how he can return to the extent to which he has been impacted. You are able to bless your generation and impact the lives of the less privileged with adequate resources. Number four, you are able to serve God freely and worship Him powerfully without the distraction of lack or scarcity. You are able to serve God freely and worship Him powerfully or excitedly without the distraction of lack or scarcity. Lack is a distraction. Scarcity is a distraction. You are not able to serve God freely. You are not able to worship God excitedly if lack is distracting you. Do I have any witness here? In Joel chapter 2 verse 26, Joel chapter 2 and in verse 26, he said, "And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you." You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, then you praise the name of the Lord. There is a condition that makes you effortlessly praise the name of the Lord. You eat in plenty, you are satisfied, then you shall praise the name of the Lord. When our children were young, there was a particular child. Once food arrives, the song is automatic. Singing is automatic. It's just automatic. I was trying to remember that song. It's one particular song. The song, there's no meditation. It just arrives. Praise the Lord. It's just a response to this scripture. When you eat in plenty and you are satisfied, then you shall praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That is number four. You are able to serve God and worship Him excitedly or powerfully without the distraction of lack and scarcity. Number five, you are able to adequately represent God and bring Him glory with your results and impact when you have adequate resources. You are able to adequately represent God and bring Him great glory with your results and positive outcome. When you are in possession of adequate resources, your life brings glory to God. Isaiah chapter 61 verse 9. Isaiah chapter 61 and in verse 9. He said, "And their seeds shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed." All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed. You are passing. People are saying, "What a faithful God. What a good God. See, this man is blessed. This woman is blessed of God." Your life brings glory to God with where there is adequate resources and results than without. Where people are looking at you are struggling to pay house rent. You are struggling to eat. You are struggling to send children to school. You are just the symbol of scarcity. The only thing that will bring to God may be disrespect. What kind of God is this? This man goes to church all the time. This woman is in church every day. And yet she's begging and borrowing. That shall never be your portion. Can I hear a louder amen? Can I hear a louder amen? Can I hear the Lord most? Amen. Having said all of this, what are the keys to breaking financial limitations? I want you to bear this in mind. If you are struggling financially, there is something here for you to learn. And if you have arrived financially, there is still a realm for you to go if you will learn some things here. Number one, possess relevant revelation or insight. Concerning God's financial plan for His people. Possess relevant revelation or insight. regarding God's financial plan for his people. Possess it. Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1 said, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Again, possess relevant revelation or insight concerning God's financial plan for his people. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see, all they gather themselves together. They come to thee, thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then you shall see and flow together because, and your heart shall fear and be enlarged because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces, that forces is Kail. It means the wealth of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. It starts with light. It started with light. Arise, shine. Listen. Every realm of glory with accompanying wealth is attracted by light. Every realm of glory with the accompanying wealth of it is attracted by light. Income answers to insight. Light has come, and the abundance of the sea is being gathered to you. Now look at the example of Abraham. Abraham knew something that others did not know, and that was responsible for his wealth. In Genesis 14 and in verse 23. Genesis 14, 23. Abraham said, okay, from verse 22. Abraham began to talk, and Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe lashing, that I will not take anything that is dying. In case to say I have made Abraham rich. Go ahead. But reverse back. I have lifted up my hand. Verse 22. To the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. I am dealing with the owner of the universe, so I cannot be poor. That was Abraham's revelation. I am dealing with the possessor of heaven and earth, so you are too tiny to make me rich. Am I communicating? What you know determines what you show. People behave according to their knowledge. I am too connected to the wealthiest personality in the universe to look up to you. That was passing through Abraham's mind. Before God's servant Bishop David Oyedepo could break through scarcity, he researched scripture on financial abundance. And all of a sudden, light broke and he said, I have seen it. I can never be poor. When he shouted, I can never be poor, 1 naira had not entered his pocket yet. But he saw light that made poverty impossible. I'd like to challenge you to just commence on a search from this preaching, from the Wednesday preaching, 21 keys to financial overflow, and this kind of messages. Embark on a search. Father, show me something that will blast poverty from my mind forever. Show me something. And I see God will show you something. If you are that one, say aloud, amen. If you are that one, shout the loudest, amen. Number two, change your mindset on financial resources. Change your mindset. It has been confirmed that the matter of finances is a matter of mindset. And this is what I mean for the sake of this service. First, think beyond survival. Think plenty. Think beyond survival. Think plenty. Think abundance. Proverbs chapter 21 verse 5. Proverbs 21 verse 5. He said, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. But of everyone that is hasty, only to want. The thought of the diligence is thinking plenty. Think abundance. Think plenty. Think beyond survival. First means think plenty. Think abundance. Reason is, what does not cross your mind cannot cross your life. Stop thinking of car to drive. Stop thinking of dress to wear. Stop thinking of house to rent. Think in terms of a generation to empower. Am I speaking to somebody here? Don't aim for the roof, otherwise you remain for the floor. Otherwise you remain on the floor. Aim for the stars. So that even if you didn't reach the stars, you went far above the roof. That was the thought, mindset of our master Jesus, for example. In John chapter 6 verse 5 and 6. John chapter 6 verse 5 and 6. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great multitude come to him, he said to Philip, when shall we buy bread that this may eat? Do you understand? He's not saying, where will we get money to buy food for almost 20,000 people? He's not asking for where to get the money. He's asking for where to get the food to buy. Because as far as he's concerned, money can be a problem. It's not a matter of where can I get money to build an estate. It's a matter of where can I get the land that is big enough for what I want to build. The Bible said, as he thinketh in his heart, just change your mind. Change the way you think. Change the way you think affects the way you live. You have thought of house rent for too long. Why don't you begin to think of building an estate? What is not in your mind, God will never put in your hands. If it will enter your hands, it must first be in your heart. And he said, where shall we get bread enough to buy? Not money to buy the bread. The other guy, Philip, began to think scarcity. 5,000 penny worth of bread is not enough. To he said, he's talking about the money. I'm not talking money. Philip was looking for money. 5,000 penny worth of bread. What are you talking about? Even 100 million naira bread. You say, who is talking of the money? I'm talking of, where can we buy enough bread? What bakery can bake enough? I'm not. If it's 1 billion, it can be bought. I used to deal with our officers in the office a lot. When they say, want to buy something or to make something available for church. And I say, why haven't we gotten it? They say, because we are looking at the price has been too much. The price is too big. Maybe television minutes or something. I say, okay, is one of those things up to 1 billion? They say, no, that is not what we are talking about. I say, okay, move now and let's get it done. Is one of it up to 1 billion? He said, no, that's not what it is. It doesn't mean that. I said, so why are you talking of money? What will you do if money is not a problem? Begin to think about it. Look at your neighbor and say, what will you do if money is not a problem? Because after today, money shall not be the problem. Hey! Look at somebody by your side, tell them, what will you do if money is not a problem? Because very soon, money shall not be the problem. This is one of the most explosive lessons you will learn. Change your mindset on financial matters. Number four, function under open heavens through the tithe. Function under open heavens through the tithe. Abraham, the symbol of the blessing in scripture, was the first tither in the Bible, the first one to tithe. He didn't tithe by law. He tithed by revelation. Because nobody gave him any law. He didn't read it from any scripture, anywhere. He tithed by revelation. Genesis 14:18, all the way to verse 20. We saw, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him the tithes of all. He tithed by revelation. And you know revelation is superior to anything. He went up by revelation. Galatians chapter 2 verse 2. Revelation takes you up. Abraham went up. Nobody taught him. Nobody preached to him. Nobody wrote down any law. He just, in his relationship with God, it looks like God communicated with him and said, you know what? What I want to do with your life, if it must explode, you must function under an open heaven by the tithe. Now, Hebrews chapter 7 verse 6, you will know the implication of that tithe. The Bible said, but he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. Abraham had the promises. At the point of the tithe, promises are convertible to blessings. Promise is like the check. The blessing is like the cash. God said, I've given you the check. Go and cash it with the tithe. Am I communicating at all? I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless. He gave him all manner of promises. And then here comes Melchizedek, and Abraham tithed. And the Bible said, and he blessed him who had the promises. What he had was the promises, but what he connected was the blessing at the point of the tithe. Am I communicating? You tithe personally. You tithe corporately, like we do. Your personal tithing, corporate tithing. Yourself as a tither, your organization coming under an open heaven as a whole. Very, very important. Function under an open heaven through the tithe. Number four, break hard grounds and generate harvest through seeds and sacrifice. You break hard grounds and you generate the harvest through seeds and sacrifice. In Genesis chapter 8 verse 22, Genesis chapter 8 verse 22, the Bible said, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. If there will be harvest time, there will be a seed time. You break hard grounds and generate the harvest through seeds and sacrifice. Can I ask you a question? How many of you have seen plants, grass, growing out of rocky places? Have you seen that before? Oh yes. This is rocky ground. Yet you see a plant coming out of it. This is rocky. This is a rocky surface. Yet you can see grass on top of it. What is that called? It is called seed power. Anywhere you see anything growing, seed was in it. And seed can break anything, including grounds that are hard. talking to you from experience. If your ground in life is hard, if your life appears like hard ground, it can be broken by the power of seed, by the power of sacrifice. The tide opens the heaven. The seed breaks the ground to generate the harvest. And what is more? Seeds have the capacity to lift curses. Seeds and sacrifices. Curses of limitation. You see, in Genesis chapter 8, verse 20 to 22, when Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelt a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done. While the earth remained, as soon as God smelt the sacrifice, he lifted up the curse. Today I announce every curse that is upon the life of anyone here, a curse of limitation from your house, from your father's house, from your lineage, I declare it lifted by the power of the sacrifice. You believe that, shout the loudest amen. You believe that, shout the loudest amen. Lift your right hand, say in the name of Jesus, my hard grounds are breaking by the power of sacrifice. Number five right now. Change financial attitude and practice. If financial limitations must be lifted, you must change your financial attitude and practice. For financial limitations and hardship to be broken or lifted, there must be a change in financial attitude. There must be a change in financial practice. Somebody say amen. Last midweek, I taught on the avoidance of waste. And we're traveling in the aircraft and they served food. And some of our people said they are not eating. I said, no, you have to eat. Because the money that was paid, food is inside. Said, I have eaten, we ate before we came. I said, that was the wrong way to eat. You should have left the food at home and eat the one that has been paid for in the aircraft. Don't ever go away without receiving what you paid for. It's waste. And I said to them, I said, if you cannot eat the food, there is something called takeaway. Let them pack it for you. What is due for you, pack it and take it home until it is time to eat. There are many people who don't do a lot of waste and God is watching. They say, I can't do so much in your life because you are not careful. In those days, my father, his driver drives him to the filling station, steps out of his Mercedes Benz, brand new in those days, bought fuel and the balance of the fuel is 5 naira, or 1 naira, whatever. So, and the filling station man is behaving as if there is no change. He said, okay, I'll wait for you, just... just try and find the change. That is, I can dash you the money if I want, but don't behave as if there is no change and collect my money. Are you following what I'm saying here today?
That is, there is a lot of mindset that must change. Look at your neighbor, say your mind must change. Say the mind must change. Am I speaking to somebody here at all? There is a lot of mindset change. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. There is a lot of mindset change that must happen. And what is the mindset? That is, there must be a shift from an expenditure mindset and lifestyle to an investment mindset and lifestyle. An expenditure mindset and lifestyle to an investment mindset and lifestyle. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20, Proverbs 21 and in verse 20, he said, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but the foolish man spendeth it up. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. You know a fool by the fact that he's always spending. You know a wise person who will have enough resources by the fact that he's always putting something aside and investing something. The summary is, stop looking for what to eat. Start looking for what to sow, to invest. If I use the word sow, you may think I'm talking about giving offering. That's not what I'm talking about right now. Stop looking for what to eat. Stop looking for what to use. Start looking for what to invest. Am I communicating? Let me tell you what happened to Isaac as an example. In Genesis 26, 1 to 3, the Bible said there was famine in the land. Beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Now jump to verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land. Isaac sowed in the same land that there was famine and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. What are you talking about? This is the land where people were looking for what to eat. Isaac was not looking, not struggling to see how far he can gather what to eat. He was gathering what to invest. And he exploded. There are many people looking for how to buy a new suit, how to buy a new shoe, how to buy a new car, how to change to a bigger house. No, that is the wrong way to live. I told you this story before. One of us here in this church invited me many, many years ago, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, to come and dedicate his estate. Big story buildings with many, many flats. And after I finished dedicating the estate, I asked him, I said, where is your own? Where is your house? Where do you live? He said that, thinking that he would tell me he was living in Maitama or Asokoro or somewhere, because somebody who had such a money should be living in those places. He said, he's living in a two-bedroom flat in Karo that he is renting for $120,000. I said, so what's happening? He said, oh no, it's more economical for him to rent now there. That is better for him to live there and pay that meager amount and use the balance of the money to build more things and to do more things. And the time will come shortly where he will move to a house that he built for himself, not paying millions to another person in rent. Am I communicating? That is how people who will be big, that is how they think. Living in Metama or Asokoro or any of those places, paying 5 million, 10 million, struggling for the house rent, is not bigness, it's smallness carried too far. You are the Lord, I'm saying. It's not big. You are not showing that you are big. You are showing that the mind is small. Isaac was not looking for what other people were struggling. What do I eat now? He was looking, what do I invest now? That mindset must change. If you must break your limitations, money is entering your hands. There is a car to put on the road for Uber. When you are out of the office, or for Bolt, or for any of these services, there is at a certain level of your life. So it's bringing you money to do many things. So the car is servicing itself. So the car is fueling itself. So the car is doing all the things you need to do. You are not bringing fresh money, modern money, to do those things. It must change. And I see somebody's mind changing this morning. If you believe that, say louder, amen. If you believe that, shout the loudest, amen. If you believe, say amen at the top of your voice. Change financial attitude number 6. Connect and receive divine direction. Connect and receive divine direction. Divine direction, especially in times of scarcity, is key to liberty. Divine direction. That is God telling you where to do, what to invest in, where to invest in, what to divest, how to cut down on some costs, is key to liberty. In the widow of Zarephath, as an example, in 1 Kings 17, 13 to 16, there was scarcity in the land, but the voice of God kept her alive and gave her supplies. You know the story of the barrel of meal shall not waste, and the cruse of oil shall not fail until the time God sends rain upon the earth. The voice of God. And then you know the valley of the ditches in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. And he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. When Jehoshaphat was in the battle, and the Moabites were almost overrunning them, no food supply. He said, for thus saith the Lord, you shall not see wind, neither shall you see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink both ye and your cattle and your beasts. Am I communicating at all? Divine direction is key to financial liberation. Don't struggle to do what everybody is doing. Find out from God what He wants you to do, particularly as a person. Your money is somewhere. It may not be everywhere. Am I communicating at all? It's somewhere. Go to the sea and catch the fish. That was the instruction to Peter. Open his mouth, you'll find the money there. If Peter went to the River Jordan, he was on his own. Many of us are living by trial and error. You don't need to be a prophet to hear God. One dream can settle you. God can show you a dream in the night and show you what you are selling. He can show you a dream in the night and show you the area where your result is coming from. And you wake up in the day and sit there. But where you don't have interest, there you can have insight. Many are not interested in knowing what to do. They are not interested. They do not put themselves under the pressure of knowing from God what to do. So God is just quiet. He said, then shall you know if you follow on to know. Hosea chapter 6 verse 3. Then shall you know if you follow on to know. Then shall we know if we follow on to know. If you want to know, you must press to know. And when you are a star, you don't struggle to shine when you find your spot. Hello. You don't struggle to shine. God say, go and sell pepper. And you are going to import pepper from Maiduguri or from anywhere. And you are a billionaire in pepper. You are not struggling at all. Because He showed you the wisdom and the revelation that in that realm, that is your resources is there. I prophesy to somebody here, in the name of Jesus, anywhere your resources is, God shall cause you to see them in the name of Jesus. I prophesy the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation. I decree divine direction for the opening of your eyes, the opening of your ears, the opening of your understanding to know where what is yours is located. Shout the loudest. Amen. Finally, confront every known limitation of your life and destiny by the power of God. Every known limitation of your life and destiny by the power of God. Confront them. And there are two steps to this. First of all, identify the limitations of your life and destiny and deal with them at the place of prayer through scripture. Identify the limitations of your life and destiny and deal with them at the place of prayer through the word. That is, you have seen a pattern in your family. People rise to a level and they come down. You have seen a pattern in your own life that you move up to a certain level and all of a sudden your journey is arrested. You can transact 10 million, 5 million, 15 million, but it will never reach 20 million. Not to talk of 50 million, not to talk of 100 million, not to talk of a billion. It's just around the same level. Even someone who can give you a job of up to a billion or something or 100 million, he will still put you at that level because there seems to be something on your head. You identified. Genesis 26 verse 13. Leviticus 26 and in verse 13. Leviticus 26 and in verse 13 he said, I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you to go upright. Something they put something on your neck, on your back, so that you are not meant to walk upright. They limited your destiny. He said, I am the Lord your God. I will partner with you to break that yoke and cause you to stand upright. I stand here by the apostolic and prophetic mantle of God upon my life, and I decree everything they have done to limit your life and to limit your destiny, that yoke is broken. Say the loudest, amen. Lift your voice and say, I shall cross. I shall exceed the limits of my fathers. I shall go where others have not gone. In the name of Jesus, I escape the limitations of my generation. I escape it now. Take your seat. Concerning this message, concerning this point, refer to last Sunday's message on dealing with these limitations. Then, the second thing to do is to connect with the ministry. First, identify the limitation. Second, connect with the ministry of your prophet to break the limitation. That is why we are here this morning. Connect with the ministry of the prophet to break the limitation. Second Chronicles chapter 20 and in verse 20. Second Chronicles chapter 20 and in verse 20. He said, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe in his prophets, so shall you prosper. Your prosperity is tied, is connected to the assignment of your prophet. And today, I declare the release of that prosperity. Somebody say a loud amen. Say the loudest amen. I've said so many things this morning. The first thing, of course, you are to do is to possess the relevant revelation and then change your mindset and then function under open heavens financially through the tithe and then break hard grounds and generate the harvest through seeds and a sacrifice. And then change your financial attitude and practice. Stop looking for what to eat. Start looking for what to multiply. And then connect and receive divine direction. Lord, where is my money? Lord, where do you want me to invest? Lord, where should I pour my life's energy? Where is the place of my harvest? And then confront every known limitation of your life and destiny by the power of God. It's still some Leviticus 26 and Hebrews 13. It's a new day for you. How many of you received something just now? How many of you believe that your change has come? How many of you believe your change of story has come? If you believe your change of story has come, you stand up on your feet with a shout of praise. Take your seat still. Take your seat still so you can stand well. Father, thank you. We give you the praise and the honor. We magnify you. Again, you believe your change of story has come. Stand on your feet with a shout of praise. Hallelujah! Were you blessed at all? Lift up your hands and give him the praise and give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Give him the worship. Give him the supremacy, dominion, rule, and sovereignty. Father, we worship you. Father, we honor you. Father, we adore you. Mesto frito sibo galita frita seni megala husata. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the adoration. We give you the honor. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' name. Lift your hands and say after me and say, Father, thank you. Say it louder. Say, Father, thank you for your word.
For your word.
To me.
Today.
I have received
your word,
and I believe
my life
can never remain the same. In the name of Jesus, I receive, I thank you for this word, and I thank you because it is established. In Jesus' name, open your mouth and speak to God right now. Thank him for the word. In the name of Jesus, lift up your hands and say after me, say, Father.
Father.
Lift your hands high and say it after me, say, Father.
Father.
I come before you today to reject every yoke of limitation, every financial limitation of my life, of my destiny,
every altar
of limitation, every blood sacrifice fighting financial resources in my life, every spell of empty-handedness, today I reject you.
I refuse
you. Every altar fighting my resources, today I command you in the name of Jesus, catch fire, 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 now. Open your mouth and pray. Every altar. Every altar, every altar, every altar, every altar, every altar. Precious name. The Lord has said and answered us in Jesus' name. In a short while, everything that is not of God in your life shall be broken. But we shall pray two quick prayers for our nation and then receive our impartation. Isaiah 28, verse 5 and 8. He said, in that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to him, to them that turn the battle to the gate. We are about to pray for the judiciary in our nation. We ask
that God will release upon them the spirit of judgment to deliver the right judgments in this season, in the name of Jesus. Lift your voice and say, Father,
we pray
for the judiciary
in our nation,
in Nigeria.
We ask, Lord,
that you release
upon them
the spirit
of judgment
to deliver
the right judgments
in this season.
Oh, Lord,
in the name of Jesus.
Say, Father,
we pray
for the judiciary
in our nation,
Nigeria.
We ask
that you release
upon them
the spirit
of judgment
to deliver
the right judgment
in this season.
Oh Lord,
in the name of Jesus,
the right judgments.
Lift your voice and pray.
The right judgments.
We pray for the judiciary
in our nation, Nigeria.
We ask
that you release upon them
the spirit of judgment
to deliver the right judgments
in this season, Lord,
in the name of Jesus.
Let us
We pray for the judiciary in our nation, Nigeria.
We ask that you release upon them
the spirit of judgment
to deliver the right judgments
in this season, Lord.
In the name of Jesus,
release upon them
the spirit of judgment
to deliver
the right judgments
in this season, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
In Jesus' precious name.
Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and in verse 11.
It said, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Because judgment does not happen quickly. Because people don't see the consequences of their evil work immediately. They think that evil is good. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 9. It says, when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness.
Lift your voice and say, Father,
we ask
for the drastic
manifestation
of your judgmental
power
against the wicked
in our nation
in this season.
Arise
in judgment,
O Lord,
so that our nation
can learn righteousness
in the name of Jesus.
Say again, say, Father,
we ask
for the drastic
manifestation
of your judgmental power
against the wicked
in our nation
in this season.
In the name of Jesus,
arise
in judgment,
O Lord,
so that our nation
can learn righteousness.
In the name of Jesus,
open your mouth and pray.
Precious name. Lift up your hands and give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. 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 Worship him. Honor him. Adore him. Magnify him. We worship you. We honor you. We magnify you. Be glorified. Be honored. Be adored. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands high up. Thank you. Lift your hands high.
I saw overnight altars from the village. Lift your hands, fighting the destiny of people, the finances of people, the resources of people, the life of people. Lift your hands high. Father, thank you because these altars are set on fire. Thank you because these altars are set on fire. Thank you because this agenda of hell is set on fire. Thank you because this limitation is being broken. Thank you because whatever is not of God is being roasted by fire right now. Father, let the altars break. Let the yoke break. Let the limitations break. Lift your two hands high. And when I say in the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3, you scream, break. And then you place your hand on your head and begin to blast in the spirit. Father, let the yokes break. Let the limitations break. Let the foundations break. In the name of Jesus, 1, 2, and 3. Evil altars of your families be set on fire right now. I take authority over every altar that will not let you rest, manipulate your life and your destiny. I declare this altar set on fire. Lift your hands and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that every altar tying down my life and my destiny and my finances be set on fire right now. Lift your hands, Father, let it be, let it be, let it be. Again, when I say the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3, you scream fire at the top of your voice. That fire will break the limitations on your own life. And the fire in Benin Republic, a man testified of how, in the course of a ministration like this, gloves that were iron gloves were pulled out of his hand in the midst of a ministration like this. You know what he said? He said, no matter the amount of money that enters his hands, it will not last more than 24 hours. No matter the amount of money that enters his hands, it cannot last. That's 1 billion. It can't last more than 24 hours. Metal in his hand was pulled off for him to be free. Anywhere they put a limitation on your life, and even if it's an altar, it is catching fire right now. Lift your hands. And now, when I say the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3, you scream fire. Fire on the altars. Fire on your life. Fire on the limitations. In the name of Jesus, I decree that this altar be set on fire. In the name of Jesus, 1, 2, and 3.
decree of freedom and your liberty right now. Wave your hands and give him the praise and give him the honor. Going out to the high places to tear the devil's kingdom down. While this service was on, if something happened to you, drastic, an encounter, a healing, a deliverance, please step forward here and let us find out. Step forward and let us know what happened. We're going up
to the high places to tear the devil's kingdom down.
You are free.